Turn with me in the third chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 3. One of the greatest theological masterpieces in the world is the book of Romans. Romans contains the doctrine of salvation. That's the most important doctrine that we deal with. I think it's important for there to be a clear and concise understanding of the true nature of Christianity, or the right way to seek the Lord and to be saved. I think it's the most important thing, because without it, a person cannot go to heaven. We need to make these things clear. They need to be understood by us. And when we have a thorough knowledge of salvation, when we have a thorough knowledge of how we are right with God, how we are justified in the sight of God, it gives us comfort as Christians. It not only provides us comfort, it provides us assurance and safety. And for those that are lost and have not been saved, it gives them direction and clarity on how to find the Lord, how to be right in the sight of a holy God. I want to read starting in verse 21 of the third chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Everybody say, without. Without. The law. Without the law. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. All right, everybody say, righteousness of God. Okay. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His, everybody say His. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, in this time His, everybody say His. Declare His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, or no, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without, everybody say without, without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God. Now that was one of the principal doctrines of the Jews, that there's one God, the Shema, of the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one God. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. Amen. I'm going to use as a text, this is our reading lesson for this morning. I want to use a text taken from a sermon preached by the Apostle Paul when he was preaching at Antioch of Pisidia on his first missionary journey in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. He was preaching in the synagogue on the Saturday of the Jewish Sabbath. He was speaking to them, and he declared unto them this statement in verse 39. Listen closely to it. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not, everybody say could not, could not, you cannot, you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now I want to start with discussing this morning just a few things with respect to the meaning of justification. We might, hopefully, if we have enough time, we'll talk about the means of justification, the medium and the method by which we are justified in the sight of God. The word justification in the Greek is dikaio, which actually is a declared act of God. It's where God declares us righteous. It's where He declares us sinless. How does He declare us sinless? How does He deal with us sinless? He sees our sins transferred to Jesus Christ, and then He declared us justified. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Dr. W.E. Vine, he made this statement with respect to being justified by faith. There's a lot of people that try to say, well, the word justification is a declared act. It's where we are positioned as justified, and that you don't experience anything when you get justified. Listen, when you experience being justified by faith, you'll experience also, as it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, you'll be justified in the sight of God and you'll experience peace. Being therefore justified in the sight of God, we have what? Peace with God. But actually, when Vines defined justification, he said there in Romans 5 and 1, it's an aorist pointus tense verb, and it indicates a definite time in which each person, upon the exercise of faith, was justified. Okay? It's when each person has a definite time when they stand justified before God. Now let's think about just for a moment. Let's start first of all by approaching this subject by what it indicates by the word alone. It indicates to us, first of all, that we are chargeable, that we are accountable. In our reading lesson, it says that we're all guilty. It clearly indicates that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only are we chargeable, but we are also accountable. We're chargeable and accountable. When we look at the definition of justification, it implies that we are chargeable and accountable unto God for our transgressions. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, Jehovah looked down from heaven and he saw the wickedness of men was great upon the earth, and every imagination and thought was evil continually. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, God looked down upon the heart of man and said, the heart is deceitful above all things and exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? And here in this verse, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it clearly tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are accountable and we are chargeable unto God for our transgressions. Not only that, but because of our transgressions, we are punishable. We are worthy of death. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18 and 4, behold, the souls of men are mine. The soul of the Father is mine. The soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The transgressions that we commit expose us to punishment. We deserve to be punished for our violations of God's holy and righteous law. So you're either under two conditions, one of two conditions. You're either condemned in the sight of God or you're justified in the sight of God. It's either justification or condemnation. Sin is opposing God's holy law, and it is in opposition to His nature. We have violated God's holy law, and we are accountable, we are chargeable, and we're also punishable because we have violated and transgressed God's law. In other words, in God's courtroom, there's no one released without payment. Amen. No one is released without payment. Thirdly, another thing, just based upon the definition of the word justification, we reach this conclusion. We also note that many times in the Bible, it's interchangeable with the term forgiveness. When you are justified in the sight of God, you're also forgiven. Amen? Your sins have to be blotted out. You have to receive forgiveness for your sin. So when we think about justification, it also includes repentance. It includes faith. It's intermixed with that. It's commingled with that. It's the result of that. Amen? It's the result of repentance and faith toward God. There are many scriptures that come to mind that imply this, but I'm going to move on just for a moment. I do know this, that when you receive justification, you're freed from the condemnation. When you receive justification, when you're justified in the sight of God, you're no longer in danger of punishment. Amen. Yeah, that's why in the scriptures it talks about being justified, and it also is interchangeable with forgiveness, because when a person is justified, they're free. Freed from the punishment, free from the guilt. You can even be free from the shame through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at the meaning of the word justification. It's used several times in the third chapter of the book of Romans. So we've looked at the meaning. I want us to look at our reading lesson just for a moment. Turn with me in Romans chapter 3. Let's look at verse 21. I don't know if I'll get past verse 21. But let's notice that when he starts talking about the means of the sinner's justification and the medium by which he is justified, he starts here with a negative. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law. In other words, the law is not the means of justification. You cannot be justified in the sight of God by the law. Justification is without the law. Amen. He says that in verse 21. Look at verse 28. Look closely at it. Again, he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without. Everybody say without again. Without. You're justified in the sight of God without the deeds of the law. See, every religion in the world suggests this is the way that a man can be right or justified in the sight of God. And I'm of the opinion that there's only two ways. There's the way of human achievement, or there's the way of divine accomplishment. That's human religion. You either get right in the sight of God through some kind of human activity or some kind of human effort or some kind of human achievement. Bible says clearly in this passage, you cannot be justified that way. And then there's the Christianity. Now I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to make it real plain, okay? Christianity teaches that you are justified in the sight of God through divine accomplishment. Now there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians. There are a lot of Christian organizations. And there's a lot of people that hold the name Christian. But their doctrine of justification is by human achievement and not through divine accomplishment. As far as I'm concerned, all of those denominations are not Christian. You might say, well, there's a big statement about the Mormons. But as far as I'm concerned, any church that claims to be Christian and holds to a justification by human achievement is not a Christian organization. Amen. Not Christian doctrine. Christian doctrine is through divine accomplishment and through the righteousness of God and not through the righteousness of men. You're saying, are you telling me the Church of Christ and all those other? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. They don't have Christian doctrine. It's just not. It's through something they do. Listen, when it's something through what you do, that is through some legalistic system. That's legalism. That's human accomplishment or human achievement. And so as far as I'm concerned, there's only two religions in the world. The religion of human achievement and the religion of divine accomplishment. I hold to divine accomplishment. We are justified in the sight of God through divine accomplishment. Amen. Not through some kind of human achievement. Some might ask, well, why the law? Why was the law given? That's so plain in the scriptures. I mean, it's said over and over again. If all you have to do is read the early part of the third chapter, that every mouth may be stopped. That's what it says just two verses before our reading lesson. That every mouth might be stopped, that everybody will become guilty before God. Actually, Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, he will say, I would have not known that I was a sinner had it not been for the law. The law made me aware that I was a sinner. So God gave us the law, not so that we might, as men, live up to the law, but that we might know that we need righteousness apart from ourselves. That we can't generate our own righteousness. It's not from the righteousness beneath, it's from the righteousness above that you're justified in the sight of God. I mean, this was declared all through the Old Testament. It's the same doctrine in the Old Testament. He even states that in these passages, that this was confirmed or witnessed, verse 21. It was witnessed of the Old Testament. It was witnessed of the prophets. Micah chapter 6, verse 6. I'm going to read just a few verses there. This old minor prophet, he said, what shall I give to the Lord? He said, should I bow myself to this high God? How shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give the firstborn for my transgressions? I mean, he's saying, what can I do to get right with God? Can I give hundreds of thousands of offerings to God? Should I give a river of oil? Can I get my own children for the sins of my soul? He says in this verse, he says, even the firstborn are the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul. The answer is implied. No, none of these things will make you justified in the sight of God. None of these things. When he says, how can I be right with God? And he says, what is the prescription for that? Is it sacrifices, like mentioned in the Old Testament? Is it 10,000 sacrifices? Is it 1,000,000 sacrifices? Do I give my own son on a burnt offering? Will that make me right with God? And the answer is no. Nothing you can do can make you justified in the sight of God. All right, let's go back to this 21st verse of the 3rd chapter of Romans. He says, now the righteousness of God. Everybody say, of God. That's important, all right? The righteousness of God apart from the law. Apart from the law. The righteousness of God. See, he's telling us it's not generated through our righteousness. It has to be the righteousness of God. It's not the righteousness of men, it's the righteousness of God that justifies us. What did Isaiah say about the righteousness of men? Remember, the righteousness of men is as what? Filthy minstrel. That's in the Hebrew. King James, kind of toned it down for us. A lot of words are toned, a lot of things are toned down in King James. A filthy rag. That describes the righteousness of men. You look in like Isaiah 45 and 8. There we learn that there's another righteousness. A righteousness where God is the author. Listen, man is not the author of the righteousness that justifies us. God is. God is the author of this righteousness. And there in that passage in Isaiah 45 and 8, it says, drop down ye heaven from above, and let the sky pour down righteousness. He said, let the earth open up and let her bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. He said, I, the Lord, have what? Created it. What's that passage teach us? That the righteousness that brings justification, the righteousness that brings perpetuation, the righteousness that brings salvation, it is created of God. I created the righteousness of salvation. So, this righteousness is different than the righteousness of men, isn't it? Amen. It's the righteousness of God. And so we learn here, it's great because God is the author of it. This is good. Jesus went to the cross and he bore our sins. The just for the unjust. Yes. He fulfilled the law. He was the embodiment of God's righteousness. Amen. And he hung on a cross and he died for mankind. He went into the grave and he came out victorious. He conquered hell, Satan, and death. And that's the righteousness of God. Getting a little ahead of myself. Okay. All right. So, he says in verse 21, now the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is different. It's different because God is the author of it. And it's different because of His very nature. See, it's the kind of righteousness which can perfectly keep the law and perfectly satisfy the demands of the law. I don't know if I'll be able to explain this or not. But we're talking about the righteousness of God. I mean, if you want to understand the book of Romans, the word is used, and actually righteousness is just a root word. I mean, the root word of righteousness and the root words of justification, they're both like the same root word. And it's used about 60 times in the book of Romans. I think I read it like 9 times in your hearing this morning. This is important. This is an important subject. When we come to the word law, and the word law is used several times in this reading lesson, is used in our text. You have to be able to discern. The Greek word is what, nomos, something like that, nomos. But you've got to understand the word law within its context. See, when he uses the word law, he could be just talking about the Torah, first 5 books of the Bible, the Old Testament. Or he could be talking about the law that was given at Mount Sinai, okay, the Ten Commandments. Or the word law could be an expression of the ceremonial law. Amen. Or it could, at times, the word law is used in a general sense to refer to just general laws that were given in like the book of Leviticus and in the Old Testament, or just general laws of our land. So we have to understand the term law. And when we come to this first word, law, in verse 21, I think he's talking about all of them. He's talking about any kind of human effort, any kind of steps or rules of men, any kind of action or any kind of legalism that men have developed in the religion. In other words, I believe that the righteousness of God is apart from any kind of legalism. You cannot do something to be justified in the sight of God. Amen. You cannot follow some kind of man-made rules. It's not through any kind of man-made effort that we are saved. So, the righteousness of God is apart from legalism. I think that's important. I really do. It's apart from the law. But notice he uses it a second time. He says, but it is witnessed by the law. And the word law is used 2 different ways. Okay, it's used with respect to legalism, and it's also, which encompasses all of these things, any kind of human effort. And then it's also, but it's referenced, or it's witnessed, or it is substantiated through the law, or the Old Testament, and the prophets. All right. So what does the law do? What does the law really do? Well, it works wrath. The law establishes that God has a right to be angry with you. God has a right to send you to hell. He has that right because you have violated His law. Look in Romans chapter 4 and verse 15. The law of God, I'll tell you what it's only good for. It's good for condemning people. Amen. The law condemns you to hell. See? Why does it do that? Because nobody can keep the law. Nobody but Jesus. So what does it justify? It doesn't justify you inside of God. It just justifies God's wrath. The law, write this down in the margin of your Bible. The law justifies God's wrath. Romans chapter 4 and verse 15, that says, the law works wrath. The law works wrath. In other words, it just shows that God has a right to be angry with you because you have not kept His law. If you want to spend your life trying to make yourself right in the sight of God through the law, you're going to spend your entire life just justifying God's wrath toward you. That's all you're doing. Look in verse 28 chapter 3. This is a major New Testament principle. How we're justified in the sight of God is more under attack by Satan than any other doctrine that we hold. It is number 5 of our articles of faith. Justification. He says there, therefore we conclude that a man is made righteous or justified. How? What's the next word? By faith. What's the next line? Apart from the deeds of the law. That's Christian doctrine. That doctrine and that doctrine alone establishes true Christianity. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul, he says this many times. He says, knowing that a man is not made right with God or justified by the works of the law. Look there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Same idea. Not by the works of the law. We are justified not by the works of the law. Verse 21. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, if we are justified or have righteousness by the law, then there was no reason for Jesus to die on a cross. The death of Jesus would be in vain. He just wasted His time if you could get right in the sight of God by keeping the law. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. As many as are of the works of the law are under, what's it say? The curse. Under the curse. All those people who are trying to get right with God through their works, what are they doing? People that are trying to do it through self-righteousness, all they're doing is keeping themselves under the curse. You see that? Galatians 3 and 10. Why? Because cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things written in the book of the law to do them. And so, verse 11 says, no man is made right with God by the law. Ephesians 2 and 8. We know this. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of your what? Not of yourself. And this is all through the Scriptures. You look like 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, where he's talking about salvation, how that we're called to holiness, not according to our works, but according to what? According to what? According to Jesus, how that He was manifested for us. See, the manifestation of God's righteousness, it is found in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. By the appearing of our Savior. Galatians 3 and 24, it says, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to what? To Christ. A schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What's the rest of that verse? That we might be justified by what? By faith. All right. So, let's go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. He says, but now, the righteousness of God... The righteousness of God. See, that's the but now. The righteousness of God was manifested. Yeah, now, at this marvelous time in redemptive history, now in the fullness of time, the righteousness of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, Paul was saying, he was talking about being crucified with Christ and stuff, and he said, and to be found in Christ. Now listen to the next line. Not having my own righteousness. Being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. Why? Because you can't get anywhere with your own righteousness. You need the righteousness that is of God. Nobody can keep the law and be righteous. So, the righteousness of God, how do we obtain that? What's the means or method by which we obtain that righteousness? What's the instrumentality by which we obtain this righteousness? By faith. By faith. Over and over again throughout the Scriptures. This is the righteousness that can make you right in the sight of God. This is the righteousness that makes you justified in the sight of God. It's not the righteousness of man. It's the righteousness of God. I believe this is the single greatest error in religion. Any religion that allows some place for man's effort to make them justified is not a Christian religion. Amen. That's my position. So, it's not only apart from legalism, but it's built upon revelation. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's manifested. And he goes on and says it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. Those Old Testament people knew they could not be saved by keeping the law. They knew that. They tried and could not succeed. Amen. It turned them to Christ. I mean, looking like Micah chapter 6. There's a good passage there. We already read that, didn't we? Where he said, what am I going to bring? Do I bring animals? Do I bring rivers of oil? Do I lay my own son on the altar to get right with God? None of those things will fix your soul. It takes Jesus. Amen. Job long ago, I think in the 9th chapter, he said, how can I be right with God? Job knew how he was right with God. He said, I have a Redeemer that lives. Yeah, yeah. Amos, he said, he came before the people on one occasion, and God said, look, I'm fed up with your burnt offerings, with your sacrifices. He told him to stop. He told me even stop worshiping him. Stop singing to him. You know why? Because they were doing it legalistically and not in faith. I believe the Old Testament saints were saved by grace through faith and not that not of themselves. Yeah. And when they kept those sacrifices, it was just demonstrating their obedience because they were saved. You might say, well, how do they know? They had information. They needed a sacrifice. They needed a Savior. They knew that God, they needed God's righteousness. And they put faith in the information that they had, whatever light they had, that God gave them. They believed God, and it was accounted unto them for righteousness. Well, that's what it says in the next chapter. Abraham, fourth chapter of Romans. Abraham believed. Abraham was justified not by works. Look there. Romans chapter 4 verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he was something to glory, but not before God. What does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? Look there in verse... look at verse 3. This is the statement that Paul is making. The Bible says that Abraham believed God. How was he saved? How was he justified? How was he made righteous before God? He exercised faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. For righteousness. He goes on and talks about David. How David said, verses 7 and 8 in the 4th chapter. I can go on and on and on and on with this. Listen, it always has been the same throughout the Old Testament. Just like it is in the New Testament, these men of the Old Testament, like Abraham, verse 7 and 8, like David, David was forgiven. David was justified by faith. Amen. By faith. When he said, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. They had received mercy and they received grace. And they got saved like we get saved. They could not keep the law. They needed a Savior. They turned to God in repentance and in faith, and the Lord brought peace to them by putting righteousness in them and to their account, and it was the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, it's apart from legalism, it's based upon revelation, and it is acquired by faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Verse 22. The righteousness of God, the righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in who? Jesus Christ. It came by faith to Abraham. It came by faith to David. And it has to come by faith to you.
Amen.
Yeah. Everyone. In the Old Testament, everyone in the New Testament, and everyone today must receive the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He reemphasizes this over and over again. In verse 22, the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of men. He says it came not through works. Came not through works. But it is the righteousness of God, and it comes through the law of faith. In chapter 5, verse 4, let me read this verse. To him that worketh not. You see that? 5 and 4? Him that worketh not, but believeth. On him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't it a marvelous thing to be saved? Not saved through my righteousness, but through the righteousness of God that was revealed in Jesus Christ. And I put faith in him. I submitted to him. I surrendered to him. I yielded my life to him. I trusted in him. I poured myself out to him. And I received the forgiveness of sin and stand justified in the sight of God.
Amen.
That's good stuff. It sure is. There's nothing for us to do but believe.
Amen.
You must believe. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I already mentioned, therefore being justified by what? By faith. You must be justified by faith. That's how the Old Testament were saved. People in the Old Testament were saved. That's how you must be saved. It's not of works. It's not through legalism. You know, you go to some churches and they say you got to go through this step. You got to check off all this, 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 and this to be saved. You got to do repentance, do faith, do baptism, do the Lord's Supper, do tithing, do church membership, do church attendance, and all this stuff. And they do. Listen, it's not through what we have done.
Amen.
And it's not through anything we do.
Amen.
We need the righteousness of God to be justified in His sight. All right, I'm trying to close. So it's ours by faith. By faith in whom? In Jesus Christ. I want to turn back to my text in Acts 13 and 39, just hurriedly. He says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. See, the law demanded perfect obedience. And there's another thing the law doesn't provide. It doesn't acknowledge, nor does it provide repentance. You either do or you're damned. Right? You do or you're other condemnation. There's no middle ground. There's no grace in the law. You hear me? Now, if you do everything the law teaches, then you can live. But if you sin, you transgress one single solitary laws of God. You sin, you die.
Amen.
That's the law. The means of our justification is clearly stated in our text. It's by Him. By Him. Christ alone is the medium of justification. The law requires a holy nature. It also required perfect obedience. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He kept the law. He lived the law. He died for the offenders of the law. He is not only, and that's part of it. Not only did he keep the law, but he died for everyone that transgresses the law. That's how he fulfilled the law. That's how he fulfilled the law. That's why we can say there's no more righteousness in the law. You can't have righteousness by the law. Yeah. You can't have righteousness by the law. But you can have the righteousness of God through Christ. For he kept the law. Yes. So as we close, I guess I'll stop there. He says, by him, all that believe. Do you believe everybody can be saved? Amen. All can believe. All are under condemnation. All have failed to keep the law. All can be justified. All can be saved. If they will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. And you cannot be saved by keeping the law. I believe he'll save all that come to him. Do you believe he can save from all charges? From all offenses? Amen. I do. We're going to get a song. We're going to sing. You want to be just in the sight of God? You got to have the one who was just. You want to be justified in the sight of God? You've got to come to Jesus. You must believe. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus. Let me say this. If you hold on to one single solitary action of your own, you'll never be saved. If you think there's one stitch of goodness in you, you'll never know the Lord. Right? If there's one righteous act of your life that you have not relinquished as a filthy rag, you'll never know the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's what faith demands. And faith requires. As we stand and sing, is there somebody here? You've never been saved. You need the Lord Jesus. Aaron, get a song. Let the congregation stand. Is there somebody here? You're not justified in the sight of God. Jesus is the answer. You cannot be justified by works. It's not of yourself. You must be found in the righteousness of God which comes through Christ Jesus. We need His righteousness. Actually, you read on in there and it says Abraham believed God and was counted him for righteousness. Actually, it tells us that the righteousness of Christ was imputed unto him. You got to have the righteousness of Christ imputed unto you. Wow, that's great, isn't it? It's good stuff. Good stuff. Listen, let go of yourself. And surrender to the Lord. I mean, surrender Him completely. If you want to pray this morning, we'll pray with you. All can be saved, but you must believe. Must. No exceptions. No exemptions. You must be one of those that's just. I'm justified by faith. If you ask me how I'm justified in the sight of God, I'll tell you how I'm justified. I'm justified by faith in Jesus Christ. I've done nothing. I do nothing to make me righteous. The righteousness of men won't do. The righteousness from below won't do. You need the righteousness from above. Praise God, He came down. Came down to bear our sins. To not only keep the law and fulfill it in the way that He did in living a perfect life, but He kept it and fulfilled it in providing redemption and eternal life for you who have offended the law. He can make you righteous today as we sing. One 195, the Heavenly Highway Hymn. As we sing. Is there somebody here? And you're clinging to your own righteousness. Is there somebody here? You need to be saved. Listen, it's not of works of righteousness. Not of works of righteousness that we have done. Not of works of righteousness that we have done. But it's of Him. It's by Him. It's His righteousness. The righteousness of God by faith. Praise God for the doctrine of justification.